Welcome back now to the second half of the Come Out of Her My People show. I am your host, Mark Call, and the title for today's show, I could call it the Kettle Shoot Effect, and we'll come back to that. Originally, it was supposed to be border invasions, vaccine mandates, and the Hegelian dialectic, and you add them all up, and they point in one direction, and that's where we're headed. As we went to break, I was talking about the border invasion and the fact that we've been lied to about the numbers. No, nothing to see here. Move along. But in fact, for the second month in a row, it's well over 100,000 illegal alien invaders that have come across. Untold amounts of disease. You're not supposed to fear that, but you are supposed to fear the neighbor kid whose parents wisely decided, I would suggest, not to vaccinate him. Big Brother has other plans. They don't care about the illegals coming across and what diseases they may be carrying, but they do care that they want to send a message to you about who owns your body. As I went to break, it was the Breitbart story that I mentioned. DHS catch and release over the last 6 days, well over 7,000, amounting to about 1,200 or so per day. That's a lot of people. And why are they coming? Well, I will suggest that you'll hear, they're looking for jobs. Well, perhaps. They're also coming in huge numbers because they're looking for freebies. Hey, you don't have to work if you get the same benefits for free, right? It would be interesting. Let's just call it a thought experiment. If the United States would simply say we're going to close the border, anybody that comes across and wants to claim asylum, great. But as a condition of entry, if we let you in at all, you're never, ever, ever going to be on the public till, dole. You don't get to suck at the public teat. Wonder how many people would still want to come, even if they get free tickets from the progressives to come north. All right, well, there's another reason that I'm going to suggest that's arguably even more insidious than that, and it has to do with the Hegelian dialectic. Create a problem, create a solution. Now, there's a whole lot of advantages if you want to destroy the formerly free constitutional republics in America to having an illegal invasion. One, of course, you bring in a whole lot of people who could care less about certain things that were once called self-evident truths. Of course, that's what they're being taught in the public cesspools anyway. But one way or another, you got to get rid of what was once this unanimous consensus that we have God-given rights and that the purpose of government, no, is not to provide freebies. It's to secure these rights. Well, that's pretty well a dead letter at this point. And at the tune of a million plus people a year who could care less about God-given rights but do care about government-given benefits, you can see where that's headed. If they carry disease and literally force a vaccine mandate on the remaining people who still think they're free, so much the better. If you have MS-13 gang members, if you have all kinds of ISIS terrorists and embedded others who don't care about the rule of law but do care about bringing in drugs and children for sex slavery and you name it, well, all of that, again, fits the same narrative. But there's even one more that I'm going to suggest is far more insidious than those, and we need to address, and yeah, brace yourself, it is politically incorrect. As a matter of fact, it's politically incorrect even to the max, and I'm going to be one of the minority that's going to say, hey, slow down and think about this. Think through the process. And, of course, there is part of the reason why Facebook and Twitter and Gulag are so intent on banning people who actually urge individuals to think, look at the facts and draw conclusions as opposed to just parrot the party line. So here we go. Now, this is a piece from an allegedly conservative website. They don't actually take a position on it, but by the fact that they don't point out what I'm going to, I'm going to suggest, well, there's a little bit of a bias here. It's just not quite as bad as the WAPO New York Times. Anyway, it says, Trump's base in the headline, mandatory e-verify to protect U.S. jobs and wages. It's critical for any deal on immigration. Now, they emphasize that term mandatory. I am too, but for the opposite reason. That word appears at least about a dozen and a half times in this single story. Mandatory. and it's in the first paragraph, first word of the first paragraph, and it's even, mandatory E-Verify, the system that prevents businesses from hiring illegal aliens over American citizens. I call them U.S. citizens if you prefer. That's a term of art, or U.S. persons. Well, whatever this thing is, it's critical, crucial to any immigration deal by President Trump's administration and the Congress. This says his base of supporters. Now, these are people, folks, that I'm going to suggest, for reasons I'll outline, are drinking the Kool-Aid and don't understand what they're asking for here. I'll skip over some of the details about all the negotiations and who's for it and so forth, but the plan, say Trump's base of supporters, must include nationwide mandatory, there it is again, E-Verify to ensure that American employees do not keep employing illegal aliens over U.S. persons, American citizens, and so forth. And the majority, it says, of illegal aliens come to the U.S. for jobs. Well, or they come to get the freebies, I will suggest. They're not going to point that out. I'll skip over, again, some of the wonderful quotes from various people who are all for mandatory E-Verify. There are some other things, too, that are part of the immigration deal, not quite as insidiously evil. But the deal, they keep saying, must include mandatory E-Verify in order to bring marginalized Americans into the workforce and stem the tide of soaring illegal immigration levels. You think that's going to stop it, folks? You're going to come in, folks. You're going to get your freebies. We're going to put you on a bus and take you to a sanctuary city. You don't have to worry about learning English. You don't have to worry about anything. Heck, you can be a fill-in-the-blank alternative. And we'll give you free stuff. Oh, if we have to subject you to the mark of the beast, is that going to slow them down? Gee, do you think? A senator named David Perdue of Georgia, alleged Republican, co-authored the bill that is going to fix the problem, says, quote, it's critical that the E-Verify program becomes, say it with me, mandatory and permanent. Now, I'll ask it again. Can you see the clear path here, if you will, the cattle chute to the mark of the beast? Big Brother is going to say, look, you have to ask our permission. You got to give us your biometrics. You got to do basically whatever we say, because without this permission from Big Brother, you cannot be an employee. Mr. Employer, we are the ones who control your business. You might think you have free enterprise, but you don't. You can't hire or fire or buy or sell or do anything without Big Brother's business licenses and permissions. We'll shut you down if we don't like it. Ask the Masterpiece Cake Shop people whether the First Amendment is any impediment or not. Mandatory E-Verify is fundamental, said Paul Gosar, alleged Republican of Arizona and a staunch supporter of the America First agenda. To solve the immigration problems, blah, 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 we have to have mandatory this, and we have to ensure only legal people are hired. And, of course, eventually, say it with me, only legal people with E-Verify will be able to buy or sell or do anything. And once we've got you inured, conditioned to the idea that you have to have Big Brother's permission, well, what? To travel on the public roads? To send your kids to the public indoctrination centers? To even not get a poke when you walk out in public and don't have your papers that show you're properly vaccinated? I guess we could put all that into the E-Verify database, too, can't we? So that you just, you know, well, maybe raise your right hand and wave it over the reader, and Big Brother will say, hey, he's okay. He gets to travel. At least for today, his socialist credit score is high enough. He can buy a little food, maybe pay his rent, and we'll even let him have a job. Aren't we wonderful? So, yeah, guess who decides what the slave gets to do and what constitutes legal? The FAIR people, Federation for American Immigration Reform, have long said that mandatory E-Verify plays a critical role in doing what they want to do. And they said this will better allow DHS to deal with the influx of families. Well, the continuing invasion, yeah, we got to deal with it. And universal mandatory E-Verify, along with sanctions and all kinds of other things, more resources for Aktung enforcement. Can you see where this is headed? Now, what I think is particularly disgusting about this, and the reason I'm really doing the piece, is because you'd think that people that, A, have ever read Scripture and recognize that there'll come a time when no one will be allowed to buy or sell or have a job without Big Brother's permission, call it what you want, a mark of a beast system if you want, or just call it mandatory E-Verify. But regardless, you'd think people could see that aspect of this and say, Well, there's a problem. Did I say problem? Oh, yeah, I also said problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic. You create the problem, allow lots of illegal immigrants in, allow them to bring diseases, and that has all kinds of wonderful effects. One, you get more Democrat voters, more socialists, more progressives. Two, you get more diseases, more reason to mandate your vaccination program, more control over the bodies of those who formerly thought they were free. You, of course, have to have mandatory E-Verify so that you can track the millions of people that essentially gave you all the power that you use the Hegelian dialectic to consolidate that power and improve your control over them and implement your mark of the beast. You see how one hand washes the other? Here's the kicker. Here's the part that is so, well, it irritates the heck out of me, folks, but it really shouldn't. I guess if you understand what the remnant is in Scripture and what the probable numbers are, I generally read a remnant as probably being a less than 10%. Certainly those numbers are consistent here. Listen to this. This is the big finish for the Breitbart piece. Mandatory E-Verify continues to be one of the most popular national immigration policies across party lines and across the American electorate. In November 2018, exit polling by Zogby for FAIR said that fully three-quarters, 75% plus, of all American voters had been drinking the Kool-Aid. They support mandatory E-Verify. They support the mark. They'll take the mark. They'll force their neighbors to take the mark, and probably the Pope, too, in order to prevent businesses from hiring illegal aliens over U.S. workers. Well, you know what, folks? If you buy it for that, if you're willing to say, oh, yeah, yeah, we need that kind of a control network and system, we need a socialist propaganda control network, just like the communist Chinese have implemented, we need the ability for Facebook to shut down insidious folks who try to tell people the truth, like Paul Joseph Watson, Alex Jones, Laura Loomer, and a whole bunch of others, and trust me, that number is going to expand dramatically. Mike Adams already knows that if you tell people the truth about vaccines, you get banned, and your searches get shut down, and your PayPal and other check systems and clearing systems cut you off. Isn't that what a fascist public-private partnership is about? Do you see all of this beginning to fit together? I talked for years about the idea of the insidious nature of a public-private partnership. It is the essence of fascism. It is the ability of Big Brother to say, hey, we have this deal with the devil. The preferred businesses, be they vaccine purveyors that get immunity from any problems that they may cause, we'll even have the taxpayers pick up the bills on those few cases where they kill somebody outright and they're managing to prove it. Ha ha, what are the chances of that? We'll indemnify them. If you're a bankster and you're told, well, if you want to deal with the Federal Reserve System, Operation Choke Point says there are legal, lawful, even constitutionally protected businesses, like people that sell firearms and ammunition, that Achtung, we just don't like anymore. Why don't you shut off their ability to clear their credit card purchases? Why don't you shut off the ability of people who talk about them to get funding via PayPal, Patreon, and now MasterCard is joining the scrum. More and more public-private partner financial services businesses saying, well, we need to play ball. Is it any leap to say that the mark of the beast is literally right here staring us in the face? Can you see the cattle chute? Pressure from above, pressure from below. The pinchers theory is the way the communists and Marxists generally put it. You put all kinds of pressure on people. And if you think of a cattle chute, I think that's a really appropriate analogy. Back to this final disgusting statistic. Three-quarters of Americans across party lines are already drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, bring on the mark. We love it. We want it. We'll take it. And if we're already signed up for it, and it only gets worse when the food shortages and other things that are inevitably coming down the line as the socialist system leads to the inevitable result, well, so is the pressure. The numbers say the polls, including a majority of Democrats, over half, 55%, more than 90% of people who call themselves Republicans but don't really understand what a republic once was anyway, and nearly 80% of swing voters all support mandatory E-Verify. What does that mean? If you don't have the mark, you don't get a job. And if you don't have a job, you can't participate in the wonderful fiat system and the abominations of dishonest weights and measures all up and down the line. The pieces fit together. More than 80% of white Americans, 75% of Asian Americans, almost 60% of Hispanic Americans, and 53% of black Americans all support mandatory E-Verify. And I guarantee you, by the time we get around to the mandatory mark of the beast, the numbers will be higher than that. And so the warning goes out now, folks. I'll wrap it up today with a couple of comments and some, counterpoint, I guess. This comes from an article by Dave Hodges. He's one of many that have talked about this. Certainly, I have mentioned it as well for a long time. I think it's obvious that the intent is to foment a civil war by any means necessary. I look back at some of the things that have happened with the, continued proliferation of gun-free killing zones, all about disarming the American people. You have to disarm them before you can completely enslave them. New Zealand has already taken the Kool-Aid. They're dead, literally. Stick a fork in them. Says Hodges, most people in the country fail to recognize where they are when it comes to history. The majority don't realize we're already in a state of rebellion, a civil war, if you will. But the problem is, it's not the average American that is in rebellion. It's the deep state, those who are rebelling against the legitimate authority of what was once called the Constitution for these United States. The George Soroses, the Hillary Clintons, the Comeys, the Mullers, and yes, folks, a lot of people who call themselves Republicans but have never bothered to read the document that they put their hand on the Bible and swore an oath to preserve, protect, and defend. And of course, if you look at the communist left and the criminally negligent evil house, who don't even bother with an oath before God anymore in so many cases, well, it's even far worse. Says Hodges, stage one, first stage, is a war of ideas and a campaign for the truth. Certainly fake news is at the center of this, the Russian collusion, delusion, all kinds of other things. I could spend an hour just listing the number of fake news events. We've named several today. The Federal Reserve, there's a 100-year fake. The carbon dioxide booga 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 story. Yeah, carbon dioxide is essential for life, but you're being told that it's a poison, part of anthropogenic global warming, but they changed the name to hide that. Chemtrails, you name it. All kinds of nasty stuff that if you even understand it, you're a conspiracy theorist. While enemies at the gate are obvious to those who have truly awakened, especially those that can read scripture, he says most of my friends and neighbors are sleeping through the attack. And the problem is, the deep state seems to be really on track to their plan of taking down the alternative media. And if you look at the escalating attacks, I think that's undeniable. And ultimately, once they succeed in purging the web from all of those who aren't fit to comment on Twitter or to Facebook or Gulag or put videos up on YouTube, you name it, you can see where it heads next. He suggests, and I kind of agree, this has been the topic of previous shows, that a committees of correspondence type apparatus, the way the founders did it, with letters. Now, nowadays, of course, almost all of these things can be broken, but certainly it's tougher to intercept and open and read a letter, especially if it's not sent via a government-controlled apparatus like the Postal Service or the various federal expressive organizations that essentially kowtow to the same master. Well, it's a little bit harder anyway. They can't do it electronically and database at all. So, yeah, good communications are important to what's coming. Independent media, though, he says, will be very soon extinct. And obviously the president that was elected to try to stop some of this stuff and make America great again has been asleep at the switch on that score. It's the Joseph Stalin playbook, he says, of preventing the opposition from building anything like an opposing ideological base. That's why I've gone through all of these stories today. Resist the cattle chute. Whether it's vaccine mandates, look, if you want to get a vaccine, fine. Just don't force your neighbor at gunpoint to do the stupid thing that you want to do. And by that, I mean force somebody against their will. My body, my choice. Isn't it funny? Same people say, my body, my choice. Don't allow you to make a choice. Whether it's about defending yourself with a gun or defending yourself against a needle being poked into your backside. So, yeah, it is an ideological battle, and it is very much akin to a cattle chute, and the mechanisms that we've seen here are the Hegelian dialectic, create a problem. And it's ironic, isn't it, how many of the problems here literally all spring from the same sources. I will acknowledge a certain brilliance among the adversaries to the Creator the prince of this world and those who serve him. When it comes to creating a border invasion and creating a booga, booga, booga threat of, once benign childhood diseases and saying, this is so serious that we have to strap you down and take away what few remaining God-given rights you have. And, of course, if you object to that at all, probably means you're a nutcase, so we're going to use the red flag laws, come and take away your guns. Hodges goes through a list of things that have already happened, calls it stage two of the revolution, civil disobedience. Now, the irony, of course, is those that are doing the civil disobedience are the George Soroses and the MoveOns and the Antifas and the Ilhan Omars and the you name it, right? The communist left that have infiltrated the country and said, we took an oath that we could care less about. Really? Okay, we could care less about it. And they'll prattle about democracy while saying, look, we're going to mandate that you bend over for our injections. We're going to take away your right to freedom of speech, assembly, and worship of the God that once guaranteed rights that were once protected by a constitution we detest, and so forth. We'll take away your guns. You name it, folks. There's hardly any of the constitution that has not been utterly undermined by this point. How about FEMA camps, concludes or adds Hodges. Obama's declaration. Now, this one I've talked about before. It's totalitarian to the max. Those Americans that listen to this network have probably heard about it. But it's Executive Order 13603 that basically says if it's something you thought you owned, you slave, from your transportation to your farm implements to your food to your water to your house to your body, wrong. We can seize it, we can control it, we can send you into the camps. Any and all assets in the country can be taken, and at the whim of the executive, well, unless he's a guy they don't like Trump, you can invoke slave labor. And rest assured that when the totalitarians eventually succeed in taking back the White House, that executive pen will suddenly regain authority that it hasn't had for the last couple of years. Red flag gun laws, essentially, if you're looking for a single unconstitutional thing that I will suggest is the most antithetical to every principle this country was ever built on, look no further than we don't need no stinking warrant. We don't even need evidence. We just need somebody saying, hey, we think the guy's dangerous. We'll come and take away your guns. No due process and no worries. As Trump said, and here's one of those places where sadly, he too is a liar when it comes to his oath before God. Take the guns first, worry about due process later. What an abomination. Passive disobedience, suggests Hodges, is our very best friend. Look what happens when a civilian population surrenders its guns. Yeah, look at Hitler, Pol Pot, Rwanda, Stalin, Mao, you name it. University of Hawaii, in statistics that were published recently, well, actually not that long ago, said that over 260 million people were the victims of democide, death at the hand of governments, in the 20th century. And it was accomplished in almost every single case after gun confiscation. Like New Zealand, any nation that gives up its guns has already sealed its own fate. And here's the point. He puts it this way. We have a constitutional duty to disobey unlawful policies. Back when we had a Declaration of Independence, the founders pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honors to this concept, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, life, liberty, property, God-given rights, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And where we're headed, of course, is a mark of the beast that those who understand what Scripture says will hopefully recognize far enough in advance that they can say no while there's at least something that can be done about it. When Stalin's forces were dragging a third of Americans out of their homes, this piece concludes, it was too late for the Russians to fight back. The civil disobedience base hadn't been built. Well, folks, it's more important than that. What we have to understand is there is obedience to God. If Elohim be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him, said the prophet Elijah. Same choice faces us today, folks. It's about who is to be God. It's about whose law we choose to obey. And it's about what we're willing to do when we're faced with, well, death or obedience to the prince of this world. And it's increasingly hard to deny that we're not very, very close. So understand, think, make up your mind now, and most importantly, know who you serve. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.